వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభా నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యేషు సర్వదా. గురుర్బ్రహ్మా గురుర్విష్ణు గురుర్దేవో మహేశ్వరా గురు సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మ తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శివశక్త్యా యుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం నచే దేవం దేవో న ఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కథమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
ఓం శ్రీ సాయిరాం. మై మోస్ట్ లవింగ్ అండ్ ప్రేయర్ఫుల్ సల్యూటేషన్స్ అట్ ది డివైన్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ మోస్ట్ బిలవ్డ్ భగవాన్ శ్రీ సత్య సాయి బాబా. డియర్ లిస్నర్, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthinilam, and with me team Radio Sai Sunil welcome you to this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam. Today is the 12th of September 2019. And let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What understanding should teachers and students have firmly established in their minds so as to bring about harmony in society? Bhagwan lovingly explains today, and I quote, three qualities distinguish man from other animals. They are sympathy, compassion and renunciation. Today, a famine has dried up these feelings in the human heart. This tragic condition is generating agitation and disturbance among both students and teachers. The conviction that money can achieve anything has grown in people's mind, though it is impossible to promote peace and security through the accumulation of money. Money can buy plenty of food. It cannot buy appetite or hunger. Money can buy medical care and medicines, but it cannot buy health and immunity. Money can buy servants. It cannot buy goodwill. It can buy comforts, but not happiness. It cannot help to promote character or morality. This truth must be understood by both students and teachers. For teachers mold the nation and students build the nation sound and strong. Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on August 31, 1981. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 45 minutes past 9 a.m. that is Indian Standard Time. Today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the book Sri Sai Satcharitra by Sri Hemant Pant, followed by the second part of a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Miss Maria Quas, the leader of the Sarva Dharma Choir, and Sister Karuna, that was recorded in July of 2019. First here is the Sri Sai Satcharitra. Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account of the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi, written by Sri Hemant Pant. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Baba's yogic practices. Baba knew all the processes and practices of yoga. Two of them will be described here. Dhauti Kriya or cleansing process. Baba went to the well near the banyan tree at a considerable distance from the masjid every third day, washed his mouth and had a bath. On one occasion, he was seen throwing up his intestines, cleaned them inside out and placed them on a jam tree for drying. There are persons in Shirdi who have actually seen this and who have testified to this fact. Ordinary dhauti is done by a moistened piece of linen, 3 inches broad and 22.5 feet long. This piece is gulped down the throat and allowed to remain in the stomach for about half an hour for being reacted there and then taken out. But Baba's dhauti was quite unique and extraordinary. The other yogic practice was Khanda Yoga. In this practice, Baba extracted the limbs from his body and left them separately at different places in the masjid. Once a gentleman went to the masjid and saw the limbs of Baba lying at separate places. He was much terrified. He first thought of running to the village officers and informing them of Baba being hacked to pieces and murdered. He thought he would be held responsible as he was the first informant and knew something of the affair. So he kept silent. But next day, when he went to the masjid, he was very much surprised to see Baba hale and hearty as before. He thought what he had seen the previous day was only a dream. Baba practiced yoga since his infancy and nobody knew or guessed the proficiency he attained. He charged no fees for his cures and became renowned and famous by virtue of his merits, gave health to many a poor and suffering person. This famous doctor of doctors cared not for his interests, but always worked for the good and welfare of the others, himself suffering unbearable and terrible pain many a time in the process. One such instance I give below, which will show the all-pervasive and most merciful character of Sai Baba. Baba's all-pervasiveness and mercy. In the year 1910, Baba was sitting near the dhuni on Diwali and warming himself. He was pushing firewood into the dhuni, which was brightly burning. A little later, instead of pushing logs of wood, Baba pushed his arm into the dhuni. The arm was scorched and burned. This was noticed by the errand boy Madhav and also by Madhav Rao Deshpande. They at once ran to Baba and Madhav Rao clasped Baba by his waist from behind and dragged him forcibly backward and asked, "Deva, for what have you done this?" Then Baba came to his senses and replied, "The wife of a blacksmith at some distant place was working the bellows of a furnace. Her husband called her. Forgetting that a child was in her lap, she got up hastily and the child slipped into the furnace. I immediately thrust my hand into the furnace and saved the child. I do not mind my arm being burnt, but I am glad the life of the child is saved." Leper devotee's service. On hearing the news of Baba's hand being burnt from Shama, Mr. Nana Saheb Chandorkar, accompanied by the famous Dr. Paramanand of Mumbai, with his medical outfit consisting of ointments, lints and bandages, rushed to Shirdi and requested Baba to allow Dr. Paramanand to examine the arm and dress the wound caused by the burn. This was refused. Ever since the burnt arm was dressed by the leper devotee Bhagoji Shinde, his treatment consisted in massaging the burnt part with ghee and then placing a leaf over it and bandaging it tightly. Mr. Nana Saheb Chandorkar solicited Baba many a time to unfasten the bandages, get the wound examined, dressed and treated by Dr. Paramanand, with the object that it may heal fast. Dr. Paramanand himself made similar requests, but Baba postponed, saying Allah was his doctor and did not allow his arm to be examined. Dr. Paramanand's medicines were not exposed to the air of Shirdi and they remained intact. But he had the good fortune of getting a darshan of Baba. Bhagoji was allowed to treat the hand daily. After some days, the arm healed and all were happy. Still, we do not know whether any trace of pain was left or not. Every morning, Bhagavati went through the program of untying the bandages, massaging the arm with ghee and tightly bandaging it again. This went on till Sai Baba's samadhi. Sai Baba, a perfect Siddha as he was, did not really want this treatment. But out of love for his devotee, he allowed the upasana, service of Bhagavati, to go on uninterrupted all along. When Baba started for Lendi, Bhagavati held an umbrella over him and accompanied him every morning. When Baba sat near the post close to the dhuni, Bhagavati was present and started his service. Bhagavati was a sinner in his past birth. He was suffering from leprosy. His fingers had shrunk, his body was full of pus and smelling badly. Though outwardly he seemed so unfortunate, he was really very lucky and happy, for he was the premier servant of Baba and got the benefit of his company. Master Kharpade's plague case. I shall now relate another incident of Baba's wonderful leela. Mrs. Kharpade, the wife of Mr. Dada Sahib Kharpade of Amravati, was sitting at Shirdi with her son for some days. One day, the son got high fever, which further developed into bubonic plague. The mother was very frightened and felt most uneasy. She thought of leaving the place for Amravati and went near Baba in the evening when he was coming near the Vada in his evening rounds for asking his permission. She informed him in a trembling tone that her dear young son was down with plague. Baba spoke kindly and softly to her, saying that the sky is beset with clouds, but they will melt and pass off and everything will be smooth and clear. So saying, he lifted up his kafni up to the waist and showed to all present four fully developed buboes as big as eggs and added, "See how I have to suffer for my devotees? Their difficulties are mine." Seeing this unique and extraordinary deed, the people were convinced as to how the saints suffer pains for their devotees. The mind of the saints is softer than wax. It is soft in and out as butter. They love the devotees without any idea of gain and regard them as their true relatives. Going to Pandharpur. I shall now close this chapter after relating a story illustrating how Sai Baba loved his devotees and anticipated their wishes and movements. Mr. Nana Sahib Chandorkar, who was a great devotee of Baba, was Mamlatdar at Nandarbar in Khandesh. His devotion to Sai Baba bore fruit as he got an order to go and stay at Pandharpur, which is regarded as Vibhu Vaikuntha, heaven on the earth. Nana Sahib had to take immediate charge, so he left for the place without even writing or informing anybody at Shirdi. He wanted to give a surprise visit to Shirdi, his Pandharpur, see and salute his Vitoba, Baba, and then proceed further. Nobody knew of Nana Sahib's departure for Shirdi, but Sai Baba knew all of this. His eyes were everywhere. As soon as Nana Sahib approached Nimgaon, a few miles from Shirdi, there was a stir in the masjid at Shirdi. Baba was sitting and talking with Mahal Sapati, Appa Shinde and Kashiram, when he at once said, "Let us all four do some bhajan. The doors of Pandari are open. Let us merrily sing." Then they began to sing in chorus, the bhava of the song being, "I have to go to Pandharpur and I have to stay on there, for it is the house of my Lord." Baba sang and the devotees followed him. After a short while, Nana Sahib came there and his family prostrated before Baba and requested him to accompany them to Pandharpur and stay with them there. This solicitation was not necessary, as the devotees told Nana Sahib that Baba was already in the mood of going to Pandharpur and staying there. Hearing this, Nana Sahib was moved and fell at Baba's feet. Then after getting Baba's permission and udi and his blessings, Nana Sahib left for Pandharpur. There is no end to Baba's stories, but let me now make a halt, reserving for the next chapter other topics such as importance of human life, Baba's living on alms, Bhaija Bhai's service and other stories. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 8. Importance of human birth, Sai Baba begging food, Bhaija Bhai's service, Sai Baba's dormitory, his affection for Kushal Chand. As hinted in the last chapter, Hemad Pant now explains at length in his preliminary remarks the importance of human birth and then proceeds to relate how Sai Baba begged his food, how Bhaija Bhai served him, how he slept in the masjid with Tatya Kote Patil and Mahal Sapati, and how he loved Kushal Chand of Rahata. Importance of human birth. In this wonderful universe, God has created billions of creatures or beings, including gods, demigods, insects, beasts and men, inhabiting heaven, hell, earth, ocean, sky and other intermediate regions. Of these, those creatures or souls whose merits preponderate go to heaven and live there till they enjoy the fruits of their actions, and when this is done, they are cast down. While those souls whose sins or demerits preponderate go down to hell and suffer the consequences of their misdeeds for as long as they deserve it. When their merits and demerits balance each other, they are born on earth as human beings and are given a chance to work out their salvation. Ultimately, when their merits and demerits both are worked out completely, they get their deliverance and become free. To put the matter in a nutshell, souls get their birth or transmigration according to their deeds and evolvement. Special value of the human body. As we all know, four things are common to all the creatures: food, sleep, fear and sexual union. In the case of man, he is endowed with a special faculty, knowledge, with the help of which he can attain God vision, which is impossible in any other birth. It is for this reason that gods envy human species and aspire to be born as men on the earth so as to get their final deliverance. Some people say there is nothing worse than the human body, which is full of filth, mucus, phlegm and dirt, and which is subject to decay, disease and death. This is true to a certain extent, but in spite of these drawbacks and defects, the special value of the human body is that man has got the capacity to acquire knowledge. It is only due to the human body or on account of it that one can think of the perishable and transitory nature of the body itself and of the world, and have an aversion for the sense enjoyments, and can discriminate between the unreal and the real, and thus attain God vision. So, if we reject or neglect the body because it is filthy, we lose the chance of God's vision. And if we fondle it and run after sense enjoyments because it is precious, we go to hell. The proper course, therefore, for us is to pursue that the body should neither be neglected nor fondled, but should be properly cared for, just as a traveller on horseback takes care of his pony on the way till he reaches his destination and returns home. Thus, the body should ever be used or engaged to attain God vision or self-realization, which is the supreme end of life. It is said that though God created various sorts of creatures, he was not satisfied, for none of them was able to know and appreciate his work. So, he had to create a special being, man, and endow him with a special faculty, knowledge. And when he saw that man was able to appreciate his leela, marvelous work and intelligence, he was highly pleased and satisfied. So really, it is fortunate to get a human body, better still to get birth in a Brahmin family, and best to get an opportunity of having recourse to Sai Baba's feet and surrendering to him. Man's endeavor. Realizing how precious the human life is, and knowing that death is certain and may snatch us at any time, we should be ever alert to achieve the object of our life. We should not make the least delay, but make every possible haste to gain our object, just as a king leaves no stone unturned to seek his lost son. So with all earnestness, we should strive to attain our end, self-realization. Casting aside laziness, warding off drowsiness, we should, day and night, meditate on the self. If we fail to do this, we reduce ourselves to the level of beasts. How to proceed? The most effective and speedy way to gain our object is to approach a worthy saint or sage, Sadguru, who has himself attained God vision. What cannot be achieved by hearing religious discourses and study of religious texts is easily obtained in the company of such worthy souls. Just as the sun only gives light, which all the stars put together cannot do, so the Sadguru alone imparts spiritual wisdom, which all the sacred books and sermons cannot do. His movements and simple talks give us silent advice. The virtues of forgiveness, calmness, disinterestedness, charity, benevolence, control of mind and body, egolessness are observed by the disciples as they are being practiced in such pure and holy company. This enlightens their minds and lifts them spiritually. Sai Baba was such a sage or Sadguru. Though he acted the fakir, he was always engrossed in the self. He always loved all beings in whom he saw God or divinity. By pleasures, he was not elated. He was not depressed by misfortunes. A king and a pauper were the same to him. He, whose glance would turn a beggar into a king, used to beg his food from door to door in Shirdi. And let us now see how he did that. Baba begging food. Blessed are the people of Shirdi in front of whose houses Baba stood as a beggar and called out, "Oh my, give me a piece of bread," and spread out his hand to receive the same. In one hand he carried a tin pot and the other a jholi, a rectangular piece of cloth. He daily visited certain houses and went from door to door. Liquid or semi-liquid things such as soup, vegetables, milk or buttermilk were received in the tin pot, while cooked rice, bread and solid things were taken in the jholi. Baba's tongue knew no taste as he had acquired control over it. So how could he care for the taste of the different things mixed up together? Whatever things he got in his jholi and in the tin pot were mixed together and partaken by Baba to his heart's content. Whether particular things were tasty or otherwise was never noticed by Baba, as his tongue was devoid of the sense of taste altogether. Baba begged till noon, but his begging was very regular. Some days he went a few rounds and other days up to 12 in the afternoon. The food thus collected was kept in a kundi, earthen pot. Dogs, cats, crows freely ate from it and Baba never drove them away. The woman who swept the floor of the masjid took some 10 to 12 pieces of bread to her house and nobody prevented her from doing so. How could he, who even in dreams never warded off cats and dogs by harsh words and signs, refuse food to poor, helpless people? Blessed indeed is the life of such a noble person. People in Shirdi took him in the beginning for a mad fakir. He was known in the village by this name. How could one who lived on alms by begging a few crumbs of bread be revered and worshipped? But this fakir was very liberal at heart, detached and charitable. Though he looked restless from outside, he was firm and steady inside. His way was inscrutable. Still in that small village, there were a few kind and blessed people who recognized and regarded him as a great soul. One such instance is given below. Baija Bai's brilliant service. Tatya Khote's mother, Baija Bai, used to go to the woods every noon with a basket on her head containing bread and vegetables. She roamed in the jungles about 3 miles, trampling bushes and shrubs in search of the mad fakir, and after finding him out, fell at his feet. The fakir sat calm and motionless in meditation while she placed a leaf before him, spread her things, bread, vegetables, and fed him insistently. Wonderful was her faith and service. Every day she roamed at noon in the jungles and insisted Baba to partake of the lunch. Her service, upasana, by whatever name we call it, was never forgotten by Baba till the end. Remembering fully what service she rendered, Baba benefited her son significantly. Both the son and the mother had great faith in the fakir who was their god. Baba once said to them, "Fakiri is real, lordship is transient." After some years, Baba left going into the woods and began to live in the village and take his food in the masjid. Hence, Baija Bai's troubles of roaming in the jungles ended. Dormitory of trial. Ever blessed are the saints in whose heart Lord Vasudeva dwells, and fortunate indeed are the devotees who get the benefit of the company of such saints. Two such fortunate fellows, Tatya Khote Patil and Bhagat Mahasapati, equally share the company of Sai Baba. Baba loved them both. These three persons slept in the masjid with their heads towards the east, west and north, and with their feet touching one another at the center. After spreading their beds, they lay on them chit-chatting and gossiping till late at night. If any one of them showed any signs of sleep, others would wake him up. For instance, if Tatya began to snore, Baba at once got up and shook him from side to side and pressed his head. If it was Mahasapati, he pulled him close, stroked his legs and patted his back. In this way, for a period of 14 years, Tatya, leaving his parents at home, slept in the masjid on account of his deep love for Baba. How happy and never to be forgotten were those days. How to measure that love and how to value the grace of Baba. After the passing away of his father, Tatya took charge of the household affairs and began to sleep at home. Kushal Chand of Rahata. Baba loved Ganpat Kote Patil of Shirdi. He equally loved Chandrabhan Seth Marwadi of Rahata. After the demise of this Seth, Baba loved his nephew Kushal Chand equally or perhaps more and looked after his welfare day and night. Sometimes in a bullock cart, at other times in a tonga with intimate devotees, Baba went to Rahata. People of that village would come out with band and music and receive Baba at the gate of the village and prostrate before him. Then he was taken into the village with great ceremony. Kushal Chand took Baba to his house, seated him on a comfortable seat and gave him a good meal. Then they talked freely and merrily for some time, after which Baba returned to Shirdi, giving delight and blessings to all. Shirdi is midway and equidistant from Rahata on one side and Limgaon on the other. Baba never went beyond these places during his lifetime. He never saw any train nor travelled by it. Still, he knew exactly the timings of arrival and departure of all the trains. Devotees who acted according to Baba's instructions given at the time of taking his leave fared well, while those who disregarded them suffered many a mishap and accident. More about this and other matters will be told in the next chapter. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 9. Effect of compliance and non-compliance with Baba's orders at the time of taking leave. A few instances. Mendicancy and his necessity. Devotees. Parkhat's family. Experiences. Baba fed sumptuously. At the end of the last chapter, it was briefly stated that the bhaktas who obeyed Baba's orders at the time of taking leave fared well, and those who disobeyed them suffered many a mishap. This statement will be amplified and illustrated with a few striking instances and by other matters dealt with in this chapter. Characteristic of Shirdi pilgrimage. One special peculiarity of Shirdi pilgrimage was that none could leave Shirdi without Baba's permission, and if he did, he invited trouble. But if anyone was asked to quit Shirdi, he could stay there no longer. Baba gave certain suggestions or hints when devotees went to bid goodbye and take his leave. These suggestions had to be followed. If they were not followed or were departed from, accidents were sure to befall them. We give below a few instances. Tathyakote Patil. Tathyakote was once going in a tonga to Kopargaon Bazaar. He came in haste to the masjid, saluted Baba and said he would go to Kopargaon Bazaar. Baba said, "Don't make haste. Stop a little. Forget the bazaar. Don't go out of the village." On seeing his anxiousness to go, Baba asked him to take Shama with him. Not minding this direction, Tathyakote immediately drove off his tonga. Of the two horses, one which was costing about 300 rupees was very active and restless. After passing Sawli Vihir, it began to run rashly, got a sprain in its waist and fell down. Tathya was not much hurt, but was reminded of Mother Sai's direction. On another occasion, while proceeding to Kolhar village, he disregarded Baba's direction and drove in a tonga which met with a similar accident. European gentleman. One European gentleman of Mumbai once came to Shirdi with an introductory note from Nana Sahib Chandorkar and with some object in view. He was comfortably accommodated in a tent. He wanted to kneel before Baba and kiss his hand. Therefore, he tried thrice to step into the masjid, but Baba prevented him from doing so. He was asked to sit in the open courtyard below and take Baba's darshan from there. Not pleased with the reception he got, he wanted to leave Shirdi at once and came to bid goodbye. Baba asked him to go the next day and not to make hurry. People also requested him to abide by Baba's direction. Not listening to all this, he left Shirdi in a tonga. The horses ran all right, but when Sawli Vihir was passed, a bicycle came in front, on seeing which the horses were frightened and ran fast. The tonga was turned topsy-turvy and the gentleman fell down and was dragged over some distance. He was immediately rescued, but had to go and lie in Kopargaon Hospital for the treatment of his injuries. Such experiences were legion, and all the people learnt the lesson that those who disobeyed Baba's instruction met with accidents in one way or the other, and those who obeyed them were safe and happy.
Rather, let's say, perfect, So I ask them to practice and practice and practice, and we practice. But sometimes, especially before concert, it's always happens something that I said, no, we cannot perform like this. Okay. Only Swami can help us. And then it's happened always something on the concert. They sing like angels. And you know, this love which is generated from them to Swami, it's spread to all over the public. And this is the reason why the public treat us with standing ovation and love this. This is the only reason. And I used to say to the members, if we lost our love, I will not guide the choir, because the choir has success not because of
music. It's the love.
But because of the love.
Definitely.
And this is really, you know, of course, I have always between songs and before concert, I have some talk, some short talk, depends from the public.
Mm.
But I, because of his help, I always find words which this particularly public needs. And I bring his message about unity, about non-violence, about human values, about love, which is in all, in base of all religions, as we know. But for them, and you know, this is something new, and quite always after the concert, the most beautiful the feedback which we get is that, you know, Maria, we never participate and we never hear about religions and love put together in such beautiful way. This was one of the most beautiful lesson of unity of religion and love. So, and this is,
I think that's the message Europe and the rest of the world needs, because right now, the way the demographics in Europe are changing, it is hard for people to equate religion with love. It's more to do with supremacy and anger and war and ideology. So I think you bring a fresh breath of air into the whole scenario, where a lot of refugees are coming into Europe, and the original population of Europe is not growing at the rate at which the refugee population is growing, a different religion, of a different background, from a different ethnicity. So under those dynamics, I think this is very, very needed and timely.
Exactly. And this, you can see the side of Baba, his will, because this is exactly what we should
He's
do.
He's catering to exactly what the need is.
Yes, in this point. And I tell you, we face so many problems now with the refugees here. Not only problems that we suddenly grow in population, but this ethnic problems, the race problem, the everything, you know. And I, on the other hand, if people, you know, answer so wonderful for our message, it means they understand. They are just hungry for this kind of knowledge. Because if they will not like it, if they will not feel it, if they will not need it, they will stay up and say, what they are singing about, it's some craziness, you know, we don't want it, they stay to the end, they do not want us to get out of the stage. They cry, and as you mentioned, this was this Rotary Club in Poland who organized our concert for hospice for children. Okay. And they expected to have around 4,000 people. So they went in one city, they went to a priest, there's a huge, huge church, and then this priest was so happy to have the choir and to have this concert for this goal, the hospice for children. 2 days before, another priest, out of I don't know, I don't want to describe jealousy or whatever, he called to higher priest, bishop, and he told him, do you know that in your church, in front of the altar, there is a choir who will sing and adore Allah, God, Krishna, you know, all kind of names? And this bishop immediately called and forbid this concert to take place in the church. We came, we didn't know about it. And this group of the Rotary Club, they were like, you know, shocked. They don't know what to do, how to do, because it was posters all over, etc. And we got from the majority of this city, we got a beautiful, huge hall for 400 people maybe, but not for 4,000 people. So the old people stood behind because there was no space and place. And could you imagine, this is the game of Swami also, the Lila. We always work silence. We don't need any publicity, any popularity. But on this moment, because of this event, we start to be so popular. Because everybody wants to know what is the choir, what is it, what they sing, what they sing, why they forbid them to sing in the church, you know.
So whatever happens, happens for the good.
Absolutely.
Including what looked like a setback, it works for you.
You must see there was a special website when all the people wrote how the priest can forbid something like this. This was for children, what they sing, you know, etc., etc. Many people wrote about, you know.
So there's such a growing awareness for this sort of thinking.
This is the way of Swami. Yeah. You see, this is unbelievable. And finally, we've done the concert, and the concert was really unexpected good success, you know, because this atmosphere was growing, you know, the curiosity was growing, etc. So the applause was big, and people cry really. And then on the end of this one lady, 8 years old, she was brought to the stage. I was still on the stage. She was brought to the stage, and she, with rude voice first, she caught me, "The conductor, please come here." And I was, oh my goodness, what I have done, something, you know, because, and she looked at me and said, "You know what you have done?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry, what I have done. You make me crying all this concert."
Aww.
You know, you awaken. I cannot imagine how I was so blind. I can now understand much more. And take it, please take it from me. And she took out of her a beautiful chain with a big crystal from Swarovski, crystal cut. Really beautiful.
So this necklace has a locket, necklace, which is a crystal cat.
Yes, crystal
in Swarovski, exactly. Crystal. Wow.
Yes. And she take it and she said, "This is for you." And of course I refuse. I cry with her. I says, "No, please don't do it. Don't do it. It's enough for me that you say thank you, that you love it. This is such
so elderly."
And she says, "I was the one who established this Rotary Club."
Oh.
I am 80-something, I don't remember exactly, 3 or something. And I don't have with me nothing else. This is the only good things which I have, the treasure. I want you to take it as a memory what you have done to me, what the choir have done.
So beautiful.
So I took it. Yes, this is, as I mentioned in the interview for the bulletin also, you know, this was many, many surprises. Like, for instance, you know, as it was going so well with the members from different Baltic countries, they came minus 20, snow, very high snow, winter. They came every month for 2 days rehearsal to Warsaw.
And how do you manage their stay, accommodation, food?
You know, food, no problem. In Warsaw is big center, so people...
Oh, there's a size center.
Yes, there's a size center, okay. Of course. And accommodation we share between us. In my house, always sleep between 9 to 13 people. Okay. Thanks God, I got this house from Swami and I can accommodate so many people. By others also. And some of them use hostels or not very expensive, yeah, if there is no... So, but, you know, this dedication, the people are coming really far away.
On their own expense, in their own time. There must be such a pull, the divine pull. I think the divine within them is inspiring them and prompting them. In today's world, no one wants to do anything which is not for self-interest. So, you know, it's so rare, so refreshing to hear of this.
Yes, I tell you, I will tell you once, we sang in church, very open priest in Poland.
See.
Beautiful, you can see on website also this part of this concert. And this priest was so much surprised that we do not want any money, that we pay ourselves for the journey from Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, you know, UK. Even we have one guy from Holland. This is very famous Hindu multi-instrumentalist and singer Drunanku. He is also part of our choir, very humble person. He is coming to us. And, you know, at this priest, on the end of his speech, he appreciate, he wants thanks us from bottom of his heart, and he spoke so beautiful, and he says, you know, to the all people gathered there, could you imagine those people came so far away with their own money? They don't want from us nothing, no food. They will pay for the accommodation. They just came out act of heart, and they want to give us love. So I think there is, on the end, I put some boxes. We can collect some money for them to participate in the cost of the journey. And could you imagine, I do not say one word, all the choir suddenly say, no, no, thank you. We don't want any support. Thank you so much.
That really is the transformation Swami brings in people's hearts. So selfless, my God.
Yes, yes, yes. They may use it, yeah.
Yeah, everybody can use money.
And I do not mention no one words. I was so much surprised. This was, for my heart, it was the biggest prize, you know, after this work. Because all of them, out of nothing, they said, no, thank you so much. Don't collect money for us. We don't want money. We've done it from our heart. Yeah. So it's so many examples, and really, like, you know, I mentioned also that this choir united people from our region. And once I decided to make a tournée, and take our people, I thought we have 5 countries, yeah? Why not involve all of them for this work? So I thought the members of the choir, they will travel to Estonia to give concert, to Finland give concert, Latvia, Lithuania, in Poland already we've done many times. But what with those who are not members of the choir? They should be also somehow involved. So I have been asking them to prepare. Those who are not members of the choir, they should prepare posters, concert hall, organize, you know, some accommodation, some everything. So all the region was involved in this journey, you know, is the, let's say, called tournée or something like this. And everyone in the region has done some work. And we have beautiful concerts, beautiful and the most unusual and extraordinary we have in Helsinki in Finland. I may say we have 2 concerts. One for the public, and then in Finland, in the Sai Center, there is one elderly lady, and they call her Rap Grandma.
Rap Grandma?
Exactly.
Is she a rapper?
Yeah, she's a rapper in human values.
Phenomenal.
She wrote a rap because she wants to attract her grandchildren.
So she wrote the raps.
She wrote the raps and human values, you know. Beautiful.
She's
and
a rocking grandma.
Yes, absolutely. And she even has her program, and she has CDs, etc. And in Finland, she's quite famous. But she is also serving in a house for, let's say, for some addicted people, called, yeah?
With addictions.
With addictions, right. Exactly. People who has been, or are still, have faced the problem with alcohol and drugs, yeah, etc. And she was begging us to come to this house and give concert for those patients, let's say. And we, of course, we accepted. We said, why not? We are going whenever they ask us. So we came for this house. Could you imagine happens that most of them were drunk? They cannot participate in any program. Some of them left already because of... And for our concert came one man. He was sitting, dressing nice, and waiting for the concert. And we sang for him. Wow. We haven't done full the program, but we sang for him, and we saw this transformation going in this man. On the beginning, he was sitting like somebody asked him or pushed him or told him to be.
Yeah.
So he was not interested, but he was sitting. So we said, okay, we are doing for this grandma, for her, because she was asking us, and for this man. And through our song, through our program, this man start to shine. Really, he was happy, he was clapping, he was shining with love, you know. This was unbelievable. And we always remember this concert which we have done to one person. So now when we have recently given concert in Satya Sai School in Rishikesh, because of some, I don't understand this problem, the posters were too late distributed, or the information were too late distributed. It was mostly the boys and children from the school and some teachers, maybe 2-3 parents, no more. Although they expected the hall will be full. And we came, and 36 of us, and we, not many public, but we always says to ourselves, so what? We have sung for one person. We can sing for it's no problem. So
Swami is there in the audience, always listening. That one person
is the most important.
If you sing for Swami, it doesn't matter how many human heads are there.
Exactly. This was also a sign from Baba. Coming back to Helsinki, after this concert for this one person, the Helsinki, the Finland national president, he invited all of us to one cafe close to the sea. And it started to be rain. And all the sky was covered by double rainbow.
Nice sign.
we cry, you know, the people in the cafe do not understand why we are so happy with the rainbow and why we are so emotional with the rainbow. But this was for us such a beautiful sign, you know, from Swami. Yeah, after this concert for the one person. And also, this is a many, many, many stories, but one of the most touching stories is also with some Belarus family. We give concert in Riga, in Latvia, is the capital of Latvia. And, as I may say, as usual, it was full of tears and people give us standing ovation and they were full of love, etc. And when we left this concert hall, one group of people had been waiting for me, or for us. And a lady came to us with her husband and she says, full of tears, I want to appreciate so much. I need to tell you what you have done with your concert. She says, wow, again, what's happened? And she says, there are two parts of our family. One lives in Finland, one lives in Belarus still, and we decided to meet in Riga because of some family quarrel and some family problems. And out of blue, we noticed the poster. There will be some concert by international choir. So we thought, okay, let us see what it will be. It's free of charge. First of all, we don't need to pay. So let us spend an afternoon on the concert. And this concert helped us and opened our hearts so much that during the concert, we all united. We all forgive each other. We all start to understand each other and we all start to send love to each other. We do not expect nothing like this coming here to connect our people or to talk or to find, you know, some solution for our quarrel. But this concert united us in love so much. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So this was one of the biggest touching miracle which Swami can show us.
Truly. And we never know the impact of any good act we are doing, how far reaching it can be, because what we forget sometimes is the fact that anything that is happening right through us is happening because of Swami's grace. Swami is only using us as an instrument.
Absolutely.
And he's emitting his love and his grace to God knows who is there out there, who needs it, and how it is having an impact on somebody sitting in the audience. So the whole thing is so beautifully managed by the Lord himself.
This is unbelievable. You know, we discover this by every concert
that you do,
that we do. You know, this is unbelievable. This out of this, what we sing and, you know, how we perform, what is going around this concert. And
its impact in so many different ways.
Yes.
We can't read that. Swami has already planned who will sit in the audience, what the concert will do for them. That is all master planning. But for you to play this role and to be the instrument of Baba in his hands as the conductor of the Sarvadharma Choir, which has now become such an international sensation, especially across Europe and in Prashanthi Nilayam, there has to be a story of where you're coming from and how you were chosen for this role. So it would be very nice if we can now talk perhaps about yourself. When did Baba come into your life? What were the circumstances?
Well, 1994.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Yeah, in Poland.
Okay, Warsaw?
Yes, in Warsaw. Not in Warsaw, but I live a little bit behind in the countryside of Warsaw. But anyhow, this was, you know, I was devoted to God since my childhood, from my childhood, always.
Born in the Christian faith?
Born in the Christian faith,
In Poland, you were allowed to worship those days?
Yes, in Poland, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. In Poland, in Russia, it was not allowed. In Poland, of course, there was some differences between those who belong to the party, you know, to the Red Party. Right. They were strict forbidden to go to the church. Mm. But thanks God, my parents do not belong to any party. So we were allowed to do whatever. Yes, it was a beautiful sign of protection and taking care of us by Swami. It was a long journey with our choir. We decided to go for Lithuania for 10 days of retreat. It was kind of workshop for the choir. I made it special for the choir. First of all, even more united the members, and second, to have time really to practice again voices, you know, to open them. 10 days of this was connected with the national meeting in Lithuania. So we have been for the national meeting, and then we stood for 8 days more, and we have the workshop. And it was long journey. We sang all this journey, bhajans and mantras, you know, talking about Swami. And I don't even know, but it was more than 10 hours, I think. And when we reached the place, suddenly the bus stopped working.
So it was a very long journey, 9 hours?
More than 10 hours.
10 hours,
more
okay.
than 10 hours.
So you reached your destination.
We reached the destination, and in this moment it was poof from the car, you know, something happened, some fork
mechanical.
And the driver says, I cannot believe, we do not have brakes.
Ooh.
The brakes has broken.
Jai Sai Ram, but you reached safely exactly in front
We didn't know. He didn't know. We just say, and you know exactly in this place when we reached this satsang place, the retreat place. I don't know if it's happened early, but he discovered it in this moment, and the bus stop worked. So we all say thank you, Swami. Wow, we appreciate
all
so
safe.
Much.
Yeah, safe.
Yeah. This was also one of beautiful miracle which all the members recall sometimes, you know. So this is what I wanted.
So you were exposed to the church as a child.
Yeah, yes.
And you were God loving from beginning.
The only in the family. I mean, my father brought me to the church, and my sister was always laughing at me that I am the, you know, she calls me in a funny language, she calls me devotee.
Uh-huh.
But in devotee, in Polish language, it means a little bit like you laugh at somebody who is always in the church, you know.
Okay,
so
okay.
Something like this. But I was really laughing with God. Whatever happened in my family, immediately I ran to the church, you know, it was like this. And I grew up with this love to God. During my study period, I stop and I break my relation with the church. It was something.
University?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, yes. I was like 19 or 20, something like this. And it was something what I miss. It was lack of something. I do not understand. I do not understood this time what was it. But I do not accepted some things what they spoke and some whatever. It was not correct with me. But I was not breaking with God. I was...
Just with the church.
Yes, just with
the institution.
Church. Exactly. And to cut the story because it was long of happens in my life, but it was 1994. I stood in my bed again, being sick for some flu or whatever. And my friend brought me one of the first spiritual magazine in Poland. We do not have a lot of spiritual magazines that time in Poland. And on the first page, it was a picture of some very strange-looking Hindu teacher. So it was not interesting for me. And for me, funny to say, but at this moment, he was looking ugly. And I said, what is this? Oh, my gosh, what is this face? You know, I do not use with any foreigner from Asia, you know, faces or whatever. It was really strange-looking guy. But then I came to some interview with Craxi family. You remember this?
Yes, very well.
Yeah.
Their children studied here.
Yeah. This was an interview with this Craxi family.
Interview, what do you mean?
The editor of the magazine interviewed these people.
Oh, it was...
But it was translated into Polish.
Understood.
In
okay.
this magazine.
So an interview
with
the Craxi family was inside this magazine?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And they spoke about Swami, why they go to Swami, what is the meaning for them, what he teach, etc., etc. And I read this, I said, what? What is it? What is it? This guy speak about God like always in my all life, I deep belief that God should be like it is, loving everyone, forgive to everyone. You know, that love is on the base on all religions. And this was for me like such a new, deep discoveration. But from this interview with the Craxi family was split in two parts.
Okay.
So from the first part, I do not recognize that the man is still alive.
Oh, you didn't catch that Baba is still in the body.
No, I do not catch this. This was not clear for me.
I see.
So I start to cry even more because I was pretty sure that it was happened
long ago.
Yeah? And I cry and say, my goodness, when Jesus was on the earth, I haven't been with him. When this Baba, I cannot even pronounce his name that time, he speaks so beautiful about God, about divinity inside us. And I haven't been in this moment with him. Why? And this moment, my friend who gave me this magazine, she gives me this magazine, she calls me and says, how are you, etc. And I cry, and I cry, and I cry, and I cry. And she says, what's happened? I said, could you imagine this article, this interview, and why I was not on the air when this Baba was in his body? And she says, stop crying.
I have good news.
He is still in this body. He lives in India. And I was really... Wow, this was for me the biggest miracle, the biggest discoveration. I want to see him immediately. So I remember this was November, May. I find some people in Poland who already have been for the first time to see Sai Baba, and find them, and in May we organize a big group, for that period it was big, 30 people, like, and for the first time I came to put a party.
On a nice hot May morning, landed here.
Yes, in Whitefield.
Okay, Whitefield. Better weather than better, Perth.
Yes. And you know, with so many of obstacles, you cannot imagine. All my family thought I am lost. I am going to some, I don't know where. I have some friend, so-called, let's say, boyfriend. He told me straight, or either. And I says, I already chose. I'm going to this Baba, whatever. I need to be there. So I even in the plane, it was a magazine. It was again Lufthansa. And it was a magazine, some Stern or something. And it was article against Baba.
Against?
The plane.
Oh.
So I read this article and I said to Swami, such cheap test. Oh. I'm coming to you.
Regardless.
This is nothing will stop me. So I came to Whitefield, very tired, and wow, we have been waiting on the corner just now recently when we gave a concert in Whitefield.
Recently, yes.
Recently. It came everything to my memory again. Like I was waiting for him on the corner. 30 hours of journey. Dead tired, you know. And I slept on my lap, you know, like my head was going down. And we have been waiting and waiting and waiting. Suddenly somebody says, Swami is coming. And I have only so much power to put up my hair, my head and say, ah, this is Swami. And I slept again. Wow, but then we spent beautiful time in Whitefield, and I came back to Puta Party. And wow, my surprise was that he's so teeny, you know, because I knew him only from pictures.
Photographs. And he sometimes would appear, Swami's chubby and well-built.
Yes, exactly.
But till you see him in
when
person.
I saw him in
so slender, eh?
So slender in white. I said, oh my gosh, he's teeny even than me, my goodness.
Yeah, very petite.
Yes, and I have some interaction with Swami in the first meeting. He came to me, he asked me where I am from, and it was funny because he makes joke out of me. He asked me where I am from. I said, Swami, I'm from Poland. Ah, Holland. I said, no, Swami, I'm from Poland. Ah, Holland. I said, Swami, no, Poland. And everybody laughed around me, and Swami says, yes, Poland. So this was the first visit. I spent quite 2 months or 5 weeks, and I have been so much tired of the first visit here. Why? Because this was only one guy who spoke English. I spoke German, not English. My English was very poor, you know, just some few words. But nobody else in the group spoke languages.
I see.
So this was so much of problems, obstacles with the group, that I decided next year I'm coming alone, totally alone. I don't want anybody around me. Uh-huh. I will go under the meditation tree. I will work on myself. I will meditate. And I've done like this. I bought my ticket silently. I do not spoke with anybody. 1 week before my departure, one president of our center, he calls me and said, Maria, listen, I know that you are going to put a party. There is 16 people who wants to go also. They don't know languages. They have never been there. Could you take care of them? And I said, what? No, please. But what can I do? I took them. 1 month, they stood with me. I came for 2 months. This first month, this was a horror. I have no 1 second for myself because I have very sick people in the group. I have one lady, she was epileptic.
Oh my God, you have to look after.
And here in Puta Party, it increased.
Oh.
She has these attacks every 2 hours, even on the darshan hall. So I was teach how to help her. So I was sitting always with her, you know, calm the people when something happened. I was helping her. I have one lady, mental problem. She starts to do some, at night, some crazy things that he can put in a fire. So I was sitting with her. Some people lost the luggage. It was not so easy like today.
Yes.
You know, they bring you to ashram. Yeah. You need to go to put up to a bungalow.
I've been through that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was awful.
You know, I was so much tired that I cry, I beg Swami for help. And that time it was the zone coordinator, Mr. Gruber, in ashram. I went to him and I asked him, full of tears, please, please, I need your help. I have this and this and this and this problem. You need to help me. You need to send me some doctors, etc. He has been listening to me and he told me, yeah, Maria, don't worry. I will send you some doctors. But I tell you something. Baba must love you so much. And I was looking at him like a crazy one. I said, what are you talking about? What is it?
What's the connection?
What the connection? Yeah, exactly. And he says, you know, only for those who Baba trusts very much and who Baba loves very much, he may give such an important, responsible task. And I was thinking, what is nonsense he's talking, you know. So anyhow, he helps me. This one group, after 1 month, left. Again, I thought, finally alone. Next darshan, the same day, next after the darshan, I'm going out of the darshan. Some people call me, Maria, oh, Swami, have heard our prayer. We have prayed all the journey to give us somebody who knows language, who knows, you know, how to be in the ashram, etc. So again, I got
yes, I know.
No, Swami, please. But with this group, I got 2 interviews.
Oh.
And this was a miracle, because, you know, as I mentioned, when I came for the first time, my English was rather nothing. And I decided with a big determination that during the year I will improve and I will study my English.
And look at you today. You're having an interview in English.
Yeah.
You've come a long way, Maria. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's true. Still, I learn English all my life, but I can easily...
We're all learners, but yeah, you're doing very well.
But I tell you, when I see today my notebooks from that period, I cannot believe that I had such determination. Really, every single day I was studying English. I wrote some thoughts of the days. I translated and every day. And you know what happens? In all my interviews, Swami was asking me as a translator.
Oh.
Even though that with me, it was some English teachers, some people who spoke English. I remember the first interview, I was sitting on the veranda waiting because he calls me. This was, I was shaking like, you know. And then suddenly, I have heard that I will be the translator. And I said, Swami, it's impossible. But if you want me to translate, please, you need to calm me down because I will not understand no one word. And it's happened. I feel like, you know, like a cool rain is coming on me. And I was peaceful, totally. When I came in, it was beautiful interview. Many, many things which I translate. But the most important for me, because I want also mention, from my first meeting with Swami, I was begging him to be his instrument. I was begging, I said, Swami, use me as much as you can in all kind of possibilities. I want to serve you. I want to be your instrument. So on this interview, Swami done something like this. Not enough that I has been translator. He asked, for instance, he put some questions to one lady. Let's say, how is your husband? She answered in English. And Swami, I was sitting close to Swami. And Swami looked at me and said, what does she say? Protecting that he do not understand. I said, Swami, she says that her husband this and this. Ah, tell her that this and this. And I was interpreter of Swami.
Mm-hmm.
I translated. When we finished this interview, all these people asked me, how it happened? Why Swami understood you and he do not understand us? How is it possible? I said, come on, people, he understood you very well. He just want me to this pleasure. and answer my request and my wish to be his instrument.
And also maybe to bless you for all this hard work you had put in.
Absolutely.
For so many trips.
Sometimes in the choir, this example, this is not important how we will sing, the effort we put. This is the most important.
Leading to the journey.
And this what Swami have done, you know, with this.
I believe so too.
And you know, and then the second interview, this was also very, very unusual, because to improve my English, I have been participating in many lectures, and I have heard when the all lectures giver, they spoke and say, and then Swami asked me, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And the answers were always so deep spiritual answers, you know, so beautiful, so meaningful, because they says, Swami, I want devotion, I want love, I want you, I want nirvana, I want spiritual awakeness, whatever. They never mention about some material things. So I says, oh, if I will have such chance, I knew exactly
what I'm going to say.
It was so funny, because on the second interview,
he asked you?
Yeah, Swami was, this was so really funny. Swami, there was some Hindu Indians and some American people and some group, small group of Polish people. And Swami was talking about some very philosophical subject with the Indian people, etc. Suddenly he looked at me and he asked me, do you have holes in your ears?
Uh-huh.
And I look at him and I says, oh my gosh, I thought I do not understand his English. I knew it, because I could not believe that he will ask me if I have holes in my ears. Yeah, I have, I don't understand. Okay, then he come back to these people, he spoke with the other people, then he turned again to me.
And did you have holes at that time?
Yes.
Your ears were pierced.
I do not have earrings.
Earrings, but you were pierced ears.
Yes. And then he looked at me and he asked me, do you carry earrings? And I said, what he's talking about? He was talking about some philosophical subject with the Indian. What he's talking about? Plus, I have heard that time in ashram, when you have interview, this is something what Swami wants to protect you. Most probably you will face some problems. And especially when he wants to give you some gifts, it means trouble in front of you. This was the rumor in ashram. You know, I was the second time. This was So he asked me about this. I said, what's going on? What he's asking me for? And then, out of blue, you know, like he
rotated his hand.
His hand, and it was like a fork from his palms.
Okay.
And two big earrings jumped from his hands. And this was funny. He wants to give to me, but I refuse. And he says, take it. This is for you. And I says, oh no, Swami, thank you so much. I want only you. I don't want any material things. I don't nothing like gifts. I want only you. Swami says, take it. This is for you. And I says, no, Swami. In my mind, troubles, whatever. And I was taught how I should answer, you know. So this was so funny. In my mind were plenty of thoughts. And I says, no, Swami, thank you so much. I don't want earrings. I don't know, want nothing like this. I want only you. And then my friend, who was sitting close to me, when I third time refused, she knocked me like this. Says, you cannot refuse gift from God. And I said, oh, okay. And then Swami told me so sweet, you have me and the earrings too. And he gives me the earrings. So it was unbelievable experience, unbelievable. But I want to mention by the interview also about one teachings which Swami gives to all of us.
Please.
Using me.
Sure.
Also, being on kind of lectures, I was very good student. I was study every single day spoke. And I knew what I should ask Swami for. I wanted to ask him if such possibility will be. I want to ask him for love, to have more love. So I have heard this in here on this lecture houses also. This occasion came. This was my third interview, I think. And Swami asked me finally, what do you want? And I have been waiting for these questions. this question, so I was quite ready. And I said, Swami, please, could you open my heart? And Swami looked at me very serious, like you now, Karuna. And he says, what? I thought my English is not good. Proper. I said, Swami, could you please open my heart? And he looked at me and says to the boys, did you hear what she is asking me for? Everybody look, and Swami says, are you sure you want me to open your heart? I said, yes, Swami. And Swami says, but how? Here in the interview room? This is a very serious operation.
So witty.
And everybody was laughing at me. And Swami look at the boys and he says, could you imagine? She wants me here in the interview room to open her heart. God. This is a serious operation. We need a doctor's. We need a bypass, you know, if you want me to open the heart. Uh-huh. This was a comedy. Everybody, Swami also laughed at me. And then I said, oh, Swami, please don't laugh at me. And Swami look at me with such laugh and he asked me, but tell me, why you want me to open your heart? Hmm. And I said, Swami, because I want my heart to open your heart, of course. And I said, Swami, because I want my heart to be full of love. And Swami looked at me and he says, your heart is full of love. All the blocks are here.
In the head, pointing to your head.
Exactly. And he pointed my head and he told to everybody, you know, all the blocks are on your head. Your hearts are full of love. It was so beautiful. Then I asked him, could you please help me? And he says, he put his hands, his palm on my head, and he says, I bless you, I bless you, I bless you. This was one of my biggest, experience, spiritual experience in my life, because I was lost with this blessing. You know, I was like in other level.
Yes, I can imagine. You must be on such a high after that, floating in the air.
Yeah, this was exactly. I was floating in the air. As you mentioned, I am now central coordinator. The funny story behind this is that I never wanted to be any responsible person. Never. You know, I was always sitting in the corner. Even though that I finished theater school, 2 years I was not singing because I was afraid that I will do some mistakes and that I don't know this properly and I don't want to have any function. So that's why I was national spiritual coordinator. After I was 5 years, I was editor of our quarterly magazine, I was a national president, etc. And finally, in 2006, this was the last decision of Torbjörn Meyer, our zone coordinator, previous zone coordinator. He calls me one day and he asks me if I may stay a central coordinator. And I refuse, as usual, and I said, this is impossible. Then he used this method and he says, you cannot refuse to Swami. I said, okay, don't play with me this. I cannot refuse to Swami, but I may refuse to you. And then Swami came in my dream.
Oh.
Yes, and Swami told me, you told me yes. It was such strong, direction or such strong advice or... I could not believe. So,
you know, that's something a lot of people hesitate to take up official positions. They want to be part of the Satisai group and they say, no, but I don't want position, I don't want title, as though it's a bad thing or some kind of hesitation is there. But in your case, Swami personally told you that you have said yes to me. So I hope when our listeners are hearing this, and many of them will often be approached by their regional coordinators and their seniors in the Sai organization, and they have similar hesitation or misgivings about, I will serve behind the scenes, I will do anything, but I don't want to be an office bearer. I hope your example will inspire them.
I hope. I hope, but I will only mention a very beautiful miracle according to this nominee. Because, you know, when Torbjörn Meyer asked me about it,
yes,
as I told you, I refused and I wrote him a letter that unfortunately I cannot because of many reasons. And I am ready to help the previous central coordinator to be his assistant or whatever, her assistant, because it was lady, but I don't want. And he do not answer this letter. And unfortunately, 2006, he passed, Torbjörn Meyer, short before this so-called nomination. I have been pretty sure that he do not manage to nominate me. When a few days after, I got a letter from Dr. Michael Goldstein. Congratulations, dear Sister Maria. So he managed. He was in such hurry because he knew that he's going to other label, let's say, that he's going to leave his body. So I got this nomination. And they invited me to Prashanti for the first Prashanti Council meeting with all the coordinators. I came, and Marianna Meyer, his wife, Dr. Meyer's wife, and Dr. Goldstein asked me, Maria, when you will have time, visit the all five countries, four countries, because in Poland I live. You need to go as soon as possible to Finland, to Lithuania, to Latvia, to Estonia, because... You know, because they need you. There is some problems, the organization is quite weak, you need to go and help them elevate, etc. I was looking at them, I said, what do they think? I need money to go for this journey. I need time to go for this journey. So I only says, whenever Swami will allow me to go, he knows, then I will do. But so far I cannot tell you about it. The same day evening, I was calling my friend the same day in Poland. He told me, you know, when you will come back to Poland, we are invited by my friend, colleague, who is cooperate in my company with me for an excursion. He is organizing this excursion for his company and he invited us as a guest. By the way, this owner of this company is Sai Baba devotee, which I didn't know before, but he is, yeah. So he organized this excursion. When you are coming back from India, would you like to participate in this excursion? I said, you know, but I don't know if I will have time, blah, blah, like this. What is this excursion for? He says, we will go by ferry boat to Finland for 2 days. After, we will go by ferry boat to Estonia for 2 days.
Your region.
After, we will go to Lithuania.
Oh, dear
and
God.
Then we will finish in Latvia, opposite Latvia, and then in Lithuania.
Perfectly planned.
I could not talk to the telephone, you know. And he invited us. He will pay for us. So, immediately, I got possibilities. Invitation to meet all these national presidents because we stood 2 days in each of the capital, you know. I could not believe in such miracle. Day after, Mr. Goldstein, Dr. Goldstein and Marianne Meyer asked me, when you will find time, because they need you, you need to go immediately to talk with the national presidents, you know. This was the biggest sign from Swami that he really wants me to do this and this kind of miracle. So I manage, of course, one day I have a journey with this group and second day I organize a meetings with the national presidents in each one of the countries.
Everything so well laid out and planned.
Yeah.
Guided tour. Paid for.
Exactly. I do not pay nothing.
And also pay
hotels were organized for me, everything on the journey. And the funny story behind, as I mentioned, this guy, the owner of the company who organized this excursion, he is Baba devotee. Silence, Baba devotee, but strong Sai devotee. When I came on the ferry boat and I met him and I told him about that I was nominated and that I need to now take, you know, care and serve in these five countries and how it was organized. He looked at me, he sat down, and he says, and I was sure that I organized this trip.
Mm. There was a bigger force organizing it behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So for him, it was always a beautiful sign and adventure. Yeah. Well, so far I am central coordinator, travel.
You've lived quite a life, Maria, if I may just mention. You've also acted in movies at some point in time in your life, in your career.
Yes, yes.
Polish movies?
English also.
English also?
And once Mexico movie.
Okay.
It is also Swami's game, you know. My father was an actor.
I see.
And I always want to be an actress like my father, and I want, but my ideas was that I will transform people.
Through acting?
Yes, through acting, through being on the stage, that it will be some kind of catharsis when I will, you know, these ideas. Very soon when I finish theater school and I start to work in theater, I recognized it's not about. And I was a little bit disappointed, but it was the only profession which I have. And I was working in theater and in movies, until I met Swami. And 2 years after I have been already Swami devotee, I recognize that something is not correct. I mean, this was so-called not suitable, you know, because in this profession you need to participate in the life as it is. You need to be, we need to show yourself. There is a kind of competition as in all kind of professions, but in this special, plus all around this this work. So I was not sure of myself if I resigned from meat eating. I become vegetarian. I stopped to drink any alcohol or whatever, you know. My friends look at me after coming back from India like totally crazy. This is something happened to her. She is not normal anymore. And slowly I stood back and back from this company. It was not... I like stage. I like this mission of being, you know, on the stage and being in theater, but not this all around. So one day I decided I should give answer to a producer if coming back from India I will take one movie or not. And I start to pray to Swami and I start to ask him for advice. And I say, Swami, please, you decided. Should I stay in this profession or not? This is my only profession so far. So please, I need your decision. I need your advice. What I should do, and please don't give me any symbolic advice that I will discover after 5 years the meaning. Because I need it just now. I need to answer the phone call from Poland. I need to know it now, just now. And this was really a miracle. I had this time with me, I have my one, the book, the popular in Europe that time, Baba Speak to Westerners, when you have taught for every day and some part of lectures. And this book was with me and I thought, okay, if Baba wants to answer me, doesn't matter the way, you know, he will always find a way to answer me. I opened the book on, doesn't matter which one page, and I remember this very correct and clear until today. This first page when I open start with the words an actor. And I said, what? What is it? And then it was written, an actor, it's a very popular profession in Kali Yuga because of many character to be act, of many personalities which are in Kali Yuga, but very dangerous. Because you are taking on you the emotion of those different persons which you act. Not always good character.
Especially if you're playing a negative character.
Absolutely. Plus, there was something more. I don't remember exactly the words, but at the end it was written, please take me. No, please stay in my theater and take me as your director.
You got your answer loud and clear and immediately.
It could not be more loud and clear.
Yeah.
So, I have no doubts. I stood out. I resigned. I finished after another study. I finished journalism and other more other. I studied all my life, actually. But from this profession, I resigned.
What do you do now professionally, Maria?
Well, I work. This is another story. I work now with children.
Okay.
I do a lot of work, and I cannot say everything because really I work. But I used to say, if people ask me, how is it possible that you are doing so many things? I used to say, I do only one thing. I only teach education in human values. Only. But the way depends from to whom I'm talking. I have workshop with women, workshop with homelessness, workshop with addicted people, workshop with kids, workshop with tourists, you know, because I work also with tourists. So I do actually always the same. I use different language, different examples, different, you know, depend from the audience for the students. But generally, since 2011 actually, I have my private theater studio. It's education through theater.
Okay.
And this is for kids and youths.
Mm-hmm.
I have about 60 children from age from 3 up to 16, or even more sometimes. And I use the tools of theater because I know these tools, but I teach the human values. And it's also given me by Swami. This is such beautiful example, you know, sign and miracle. Last darshan, birthday, November 2011, I was sitting in the first line when Swami came from his house. He's coming from his house.
That would be 2010 November.
2010 November, of course, right. 2010, yes. I was sitting there. This was my last darshan. Swami was always brought on the wheelchair, very weak
looking.
Yeah. So I was observing him because he's supposed to be very, very weak and out of, I don't know, in other level he looks like. But on his knees, on his nap, he used to have small packet of vibhuti, always with him. And whenever he saw a child, he, with a big power,
he would toss it.
Yeah, he would throw to this child, and exactly on the feet of the child, the vibhuti landed, you know. I said, how he is doing this? He's supposed to be so weak. So, and he smiled, and this was beautiful. And it happens also to me. This was my last darshan. I have a letter. I keep a letter. And Swami showed to Mr. Chakravarti to take the letter from me, which give me a joy, of course, and pleasure, and I was very happy. And then he looked at me, he stood on this wheelchair, he looked at me, and he took vibhuti, and he put in my directions, on my feet, you know. The vibhuti landed, the pocket with vibhuti landed on my feet. And I have been surprised totally, because Swami never done it to adults, you know, always to children. So I look at the vibhuti, I do not understand, what shall I do, what is going on. All the ladies around me, they push me, take it, it's for you, Swami give you vibhuti. So, little bit embarrassed, I took this vibhuti. When I have it in my hand, Swami look at me, and he look, done something like this, showing me behind
your
me.
Your finger?
With his head, like
okay.
this.
Oh,
you know,
he kind of nodded back.
Yes. Behind me, and he showed me that something is behind
you.
Huh? I look behind me. Behind me was a small girl.
Oh,
child.
Okay.
So he asked me to forward
the vibhuti to her. Okay.
In this moment, Karuna, I feel so embarrassed. Of course, I give to this small girl, but I feel, my goodness, this was not for me. Why I took it, etc. But coming home, and I start my work. And I start to have more and more and more children. I fully understood that he give me this vibhuti because he wants me. His teachings, whatever I got from him, to give to children. So this is exactly what I'm doing now. And this is what he's helping me, and I have more and more children. Yeah, this is my work.
Very beautiful. It's been so inspiring to hear of your journey. I really wanted to first hear about the Sarvadharma Choir and then about how you came to do what you do, so that I could retrace the journey, how Swami made you into the instrument that you are. So for sharing it with so much of love, thank you so much, Maria.
I thank you. I was never, even with this idea that I will get these possibilities to share, and that you are so kind to listen to me.
It is Bhagwan's wish. Whatever happens in Radio Sai is an outcome of His grace.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Om Sai Ram.
Om Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listener, you were listening to the second and the concluding part of a brand new Tryst with Divinity conversation with Miss Maria Quaz, leader of the Sarvadharma Choir, and Sister Karuna, that was recorded in July of 2019. Dear listener, you could email us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam. It's me, Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai. At 11:30, Brother Bishu will join you with his segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.
सोहम सोहम ध्यान करो साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो
हृदय भरो
सोहम सोहम साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु सोहम साई ध्यान करो
I'm निधायाद्य पयोदधीनि बहिर्गतायां व्रजनायिकायां भूत्वा यथेष्टं कपटेन सुप्तं बालं मुकुन्दं मनसा स्मरामि
కలిందజా